YPG's desert rats tested weapons of war so they'd work when soldiers' lives depended on them. Thousands of veterans walk the earth today thanks to their work. After decades of service, all that's left is testament. Desert Rat Testament is a monthly anthology that collects the stories and recollections of retired Yuma Proving Ground employees of decades-long service. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Stan Gorley was born in New Jersey, served as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and served 20 years in uniform, attaining the rank of Chief Warrant Officer 4. He was a bush pilot in Alaska before starting his tenure as a pilot at Yuma Proving Ground in 1991. How did you end up flying helicopters at Yuma Proving Ground?
I was at the DC Guard, and an opportunity came up to fly as a GS pilot. I had some GS time in the National Guard, and that allowed me a longer period to fly in my career. As a warrant officer, there's limitations, and I decided I didn't want to face those limitations as a warrant officer pilot, and I became a GS-12 pilot here at Yuma Proving Ground.
Now, you said your very first mission flying in the heat of summer didn't go the way you would have wanted, right?
No, I didn't realize, I'd never lived any place that was so dry and so hot. I flew in Alaska for 15 years as a bush pilot for the National Guard and on the civilian side. And then when I got here, it was early in July of 91, and we had a late mission come up, and I had to go out, and we always carried water, I learned that lesson the hard way. that mission, I didn't take enough water, and I ended up getting very dehydrated. In those days, we flew Hueys, and we flew with the doors off, and I got so dehydrated and got a violent headache to the point that I couldn't even drive home. I got a ride home with the airfield secretary, Judy Wilson, at that time. And then I had to get a ride the next day back out to work. I recovered overnight, but I was really miserable, and I never did that again.
During all those years you were in uniform, had you ever heard of Yuma Proving Ground before you worked here?
No, I had never heard of Yuma Proving Ground while I was in the service or in any other experience until I think it was must have been 86 or so. I applied for a job at Marana, and they talked somehow in conversation. Yuma Proving Ground came up at that time, and that was all I knew was Yuma Proving Ground. Actually, I thought it was Yuma Proving Grounds with an S on the end. And the first time when I was applying for the job and I spoke to somebody and I added the S, I was corrected immediately that it is not a grounds, it's a ground.
It's not like coffee grounds, yeah. So you were here for 18, 19 years?
Yeah, from July, actually I started late June of 91, and I worked to the last day of December of 08.
What sort of missions did you fly in support of the aviation mission here?
Well, primarily the Hueys at that time were used as support platforms. We would be a platform for observation, for recording. We would carry photographers, we would carry special cameras. We would carry other devices. We would drop things. We would be a platform to simulate mortar rounds at the height of their apogee for whatever data they were collecting. Then we would also provide general range support, like if the radio repeaters on the mountains needed maintenance, or if environment needed to we did turtle surveys where we'd land all over the range and look for signs of desert tortoises. One time I went out and we were looking for Turk's head cactus. There was somebody had said, oh, they saw a Turk's head cactus. And we spent quite a bit of time, both in the air and the environmental folks were on the ground looking for Turk's head cactus. It was never confirmed, though.
Let's see. Global Positioning Satellite was first tested at Yuma Proving Ground in the 1970s. And I know that initial testing was still going on into the 90s. Were you still involved with that in the early 90s?
No, actually, the primary helicopter for the initial airborne testing was one of our Hueys. It was heavily modified and called a J model, I believe. And that prototypes of the original GPS systems were put in that helicopter. They had to add air conditioners. There was two technicians in back. And what they did was they took the original prototype satellite antenna and transmitter and they turned it upside down, inverted range. And it would broadcast, and then the Huey would fly around to various survey points to try and learn how the system worked, to teach the system how to work better, and those kinds of things. And then eventually it was, I think it was here about 12 or 13 years in that same platform. And it, as I understand it, left the year before I got here in 90 or 89, something like that.
We have a photo from the early 80s of then-Senator Barry Goldwater and a soldier wearing a man-portable GPS receiver. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It weighed 27 pounds. He wore it as a backpack.
Well, the first time I saw one was an early prototype for surveying. I did a lot of surveying in Alaska, or supported survey operations. And that system fit in the back of a Huey and was flown to mountaintops in Alaska. And they would set up a camp for a week on the mountaintop, resupplied with the Huey, and they would collect the data because they had so few satellites, they would have to wait hours, days for a satellite to come by and broadcast to the ground-based receivers. That was before the Constellation, which I think has 20-some satellites in it. And that was an early prototype.
Did you fly missions in support of the Free Fall School, the Jump Preserver?
No, we didn't. The paratrop missions that I flew were for in support of primarily currency for the parachute group. When the Free Fall School was on the way here, we had an airplane program. We had two O2s that we had brought over from Fort Huachuca, and we brought over their instructor pilot, and he became an YPG employee, and he taught me to fly those airplanes. I was already an Army airplane pilot, and he gave me a checkout in the O2s. But because YPG had a fixed wing, the Army calls them fixed wing, program, and current pilots and instructor pilots, when the Free Fall School, which was actually based out of Special Ops Command near Tampa, Florida, and they wanted to position a flight detachment with two of their early CASAs here. And we said, well, you know, tell us your program. And they said, well, we're going to send two airplanes out, blah, 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 and send pilots out, TDY and all. And we go, wait a second. Why don't you define your program, let us bid on it, and if you like our price, we will fly the airplanes, we will maintain the airplanes, and we will do your drop mission. The airplanes are still yours, and you can do whatever you want with them, but while they're here at YPG, they're just an extension of an existing flight detachment activities, and that's what we did. Is they hired us, they paid us so many dollars an hour to operate their airplanes, and for that money, we paid for the maintenance to be done on the airplane. In other words, the mechanics, the labor rate was amortized into the cost of the airplane, and the pilot staff was amortized into the cost of the airplane. And after they checked us out, we ended up keeping that project for quite a few years until they actually put their own flight detachment at Laguna with some additional aircraft and things like that. And I flew those airplanes also. But because at that time I was acting as the airfield commander and as a flight detachment commander, I didn't feel I had sufficient time to be checked out as a pilot in command of that airplane. I was an instructor pilot in the NVG instructor pilot for the Hueys, and I was one of the pilots, a command pilot in the O2 program, which frequently went to Dugway. We went to Dugway every summer for two or three months at a time to fly their support needs with either the O2s, depending on the test, or Hueys, depending on the test that they did.
YPG was the last Army installation using the O2.
In DOD.
And it was retired not long after you retired.
Yeah. Yeah, the O2s were retired in 09. The first time I ever saw O2s was in Vietnam in 68. So O2s had been around a long time, and we had the last two. And that one that's out on a stick, I flew that airplane. There's another one that's sitting, or used to sit, down on main post. I don't know if it still does. If you go look at those, one of those two airplanes has something like 28 repaired bullet holes in it. So they were Vietnam airplanes.
I know that plane was very special to all the pilots that flew it in Vietnam, certainly. Did you feel?
Particularly the ones that flew it. Now, Army didn't fly the O2 in Vietnam. Only the Air Force did. The Army didn't have that FAC, forward air controller, mission.
After you retired in December of 2008, you stayed in Yuma.
Yes.
Why did you stay here?
Well, for a couple of reasons, primarily because my family, my kids are here. My son lives up in Phoenix. My daughter lives in Yuma. My son has two children. That gives us grandchildren. And my daughter has a 14-year-old and an 11-month-old. So we have a brand new baby in the family, and we babysit him 1 to 2 days a week so that we get a chance to bond with the little guy.
And you're still very active in the community. You're part of the National Association of Retired Federal Employees.
Yes.
You lead the group, don't you?
I'm the local chapter president. I'm also a judge at the juvenile court on weekends. I think next week I've got real hearings. Sometimes we do detention hearings, which are somewhat structured. Other times I've been trained to do traffic hearings for juveniles, and then I actually have to work as a judge then and make a determination of responsibility and things like that.
You're also on the Yuma Aviation Authority Board.
Yeah, I'm a member. This will be the beginning of my second 9-year term with the Yuma County Airport Authority. And the function of the board, which is unlike most airports the size of Yuma's belongs to the city or county government. It does not. Yuma has its own independent airport authority. The property is on lease to us from BLM to the county to the airport authority, and the airport authority has a board of, I think it's 11 members. And we meet every month and we discuss the finances. The airport manages approximately $4.5 million a year this year and next year, as far as the 23 employees, which is the labor. There's funding that has to be managed as far as maintaining the facilities. The big runways belong to the Marine Corps. They have an obligation to make them accessible to the civilian side, which I represent on the board of the civilian side. And then I'm the Yuma County 4-H shooting sports instructor. I run that project, and we teach at a very basic level firearm safety. We teach archery and air rifle. We then go to a special range that we're allowed to use from the Ware Farm in Dome Valley to teach muzzle loader, black powder, 22 rifle, shotgun. We have a clay thrower that was donated to us, and we throw clays and teach the kids some basic elements of safety with firearms and air rifles and archery. And we have a competition every year, and which is a standard 4-H thing, and we award belt buckles for archery and air rifle. And because those programs are designed to train our youth to go to competition at the state level. the black powder and 22 and shotgun are introductory programs. So for those, we don't have a belt buckle, but we award the first place purple awards for that typical 4-H stuff. So that's the four volunteer projects that I am involved with.
You've had a very active retirement.
Well, I've always, I was a union president out here for 12 years, and I've always told people that are talking about retirement, first, never retire from a job, retire to something. To me, volunteer activities is my something. To some people, they're going to get collect their retirement and they're going to work at Walmart as a door greeter. Other people go to the elementary school and read books to the kids. There's a million things to do. Sadly, there are people that just go home and they sit around, and in 6 months, they're going to get buried, and that's the end of it. And that's sad. So the people that stay active in their retirement, no matter what they do, but they stay active in something, particularly you got to use your brain. In other words, crossword puzzles, numerical things, calculating things, be involved with accounting, even if it's just on a volunteer basis. If you keep your mind active and your body active, you're going to live longer.
Stan, it was really good visiting with you today. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for asking me. I appreciate that.
For as long as the United States has a military, Yuma Proving Ground will be vital to the national defense. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Testament.